today, we'll have my January trip report. That's coming up on this episode 140 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for this episode. This is going to be a montage of clips that I recorded daily during my January trip. If you were subscribed to the podcast feed and saw those daily clips being posted, you may have already heard them individually because I just sort of recorded each night and uploaded them raw, but I took them down so that I can put them in this episode and stitch them all together into one properly put together episode, like this one with the intro and the outro. The next podcast after this is actually going to be about a first timer who was there roughly the same time as me. So you can hear my trip report and then next you can hear how it went for her. So look forward to that coming up next. And I don't often mention new content on the site, but whenever it's big and worth mentioning, I want to let you know about it. The most recent is that we did a Disney dining plan analysis post, and we do this every year now. And basically what we do is we go through every quick service and table service restaurant. We see what the average value of a dining plan credit is there and the maximum value, like if you ordered the most expensive things. And then we put it into big charts. That way, you can see which places give you the best bang for the buck if you're on the dining plan. And it takes us weeks and weeks to do it. It's a huge spreadsheet that we have to do it and then put it into graphics and then try to explain all of it to you. So if you want to check that out, go to wdwprepschool.com/DDP credits. It'll take you right to the post. That way you can make sure you're getting the most for your money. I'll also link it in the show notes. So I won't waste any more time because this is going to take a little while to get through my clips from my January trip. So after you hear that, I'll be back with a quick tip of the day before we wrap it up. Here are my daily reports from January. So, hey, I am going to try recording these little clips at the end of every day of this trip. No intro, no outro. I'm just going to record raw, upload them. And then when I get home from this trip, I'm going to put them all together into a proper episode. But for now, I thought I would try to just record some live updates so you can follow along every day until the trip is over. So today, I am recording this at the end of Thursday, January 19th, which for the most part was just a travel day for us. Our flight didn't land until around midnight, so we got a late start and we are at the resort. I am recording this at 2 a.m. and if you hear noise in the background, it is probably Disney Springs. We have a view of Disney Springs from our room at Saratoga Springs, and I am out on our patio area looking at Disney Springs. It's all lit up. I hear music. It's busy. We have a path near our room that we can walk to get over there, which is what we're going to do a lot during this trip because there's lots of new stuff going on at Disney Springs and we want to try it out, especially the restaurants. They are my son's favorite part. So just a little recap of today. Our flight wasn't until 8 p.m., but at noon, I actually got a text message from Disney that said our room was ready and it had our room number. That is exciting. It didn't used to be like as guaranteed to get that text message. It was kind of hit or miss. And a lot of times I think it was only people that had booked packages that got it. But anyway, I get it most of the time now on my trips. And so I had my room number and that gave me a chance to check out the map of the resort, which by the way, they do text you the map and you can kind of see where you're going to be. I got both of my requests. I had a request for which floor to be on and I had a request for which section within Disney Springs that I wanted to be in. And I got both requests, which was really lucky. I won't say exactly what those requests were because in the past when I've been a little too specific about my room, I had somebody show up, which is a little scary. But at the end of the trip, I will talk about where we are and kind of give you thoughts on it. So we did get that text message and we knew our room about 12 hours before we even got here. We took off we had a late start. Our flight was a little delayed just because of the crew. But once we were in the air, it was totally fine. once we got on the ground, we actually had a really easy time at the airport. It can really vary. And we use Magical Express, which can vary too. So I wrote down some times because I know a lot of you like data like I do. So we actually deplaned at 12:10, 10 minutes after midnight. And then we walked to the baggage carousel, which if you've ever been at the Orlando airport, it's a little bit of a walk. As soon as we walked up to the carousel at 12:20, our bags were already out. So we were able to grab those quickly and head to the Magical Express area. We got on the bus at 12:32. So 22 minutes after we deplaned, we were on the Magical Express bus. And then we sat on the bus for 22 minutes before it left. The Magical Express time varies a lot because they kind of try to wait for the bus to fill up enough to justify them making the trip. Once on the bus, they said they were stopping at 4 or 5 resorts. And when they listed them, they listed Saratoga Springs last, and I wasn't sure if that was the indication of the order or not. It turns out we were actually first. So not only was our bags were out early and our bus left within 20 minutes, but we were the first stop. So we actually arrived at the resort at 1:21, which was an hour and 11 minutes after deplaning. So it doesn't really get much better than that with Magical Express. Since we already had our room number, and I already knew how to navigate to our room, we started walking. It was about a 15-minute hike or so. I think that most people at Saratoga Springs probably have cars. We just decided not to get one this time because we're going to be testing out the express buses that go between the parks. And I just was not going to be using a car very much. So we went ahead and just used Magical Express instead of our own car. But if you happen to be traveling to Saratoga Springs, I would highly recommend that you not do the walk like we did with our luggage, because it would have been a total pain if it was with small kids or if it was hot or raining or whatever. But it happens to be a gorgeous night right now. I'm actually going to look up the weather on my phone. It is 65 degrees and clear. So it's just the two of us, my son and me, and we're totally able-bodied. It's in the mid-60s. It's clear. We knew we were going, so we went ahead and did it. But for everybody else, I think it probably makes sense to at least get a golf cart to help you out with your stuff. But we did find a room. And the room is fine. It's a studio room. And at DVC Resort, studio rooms are a bed plus a pullout couch. It's not our favorite. It's not ideal, especially because my son is a grown size person. So the fold-out couch doesn't seem quite big enough for him anymore. But it's fine. I definitely wouldn't do a studio for our whole family of four unless it was at Old Key West, because I think Old Key West is the only one that has actually two beds. But studio for just the two of us will be fine, and we're going to make good use of our proximity to Disney Springs. So tomorrow, Friday, January 20th, our plans include sleeping in a little bit. Even my son today, in order to prepare for this trip, he actually set his alarm early because he's a rope drop kid. And so he wanted to make sure he was used to getting up early. But I'm not going to make him get up early tomorrow since it is 2 o'clock in the morning and we're still up. We're going to sleep in a little bit and walk over to Disney Springs for lunch, try out somewhere new there that we've never eaten. And I don't know what we're going to be doing in the afternoon, but I know we're going to take some time to take pictures of Saratoga Springs. I love to walk all the resorts and take pictures of the buildings and the pools and all of the restaurants and that kind of stuff. So we'll definitely take some time for that. But tomorrow night, we are doing Magic Kingdom After Hours, which is 3 hours after the park officially closes at 9 p.m. We will be in the park until midnight, and hopefully we'll be walking on all the rides and doing whatever we want until it closes, and then head back, and then I'll record again and let you know what I think of that, because I was not going to do that on this trip. But when I posted what I was planning, a lot of people said, hey, could you try that out and let us know? And my son said, thank you to those people for suggesting it, because one of his favorite things is being in Magic Kingdom and not having to wait on the ride. So the special hard ticket events give you an opportunity to do that. We are also going to get tomorrow passes to do the express buses. And I don't know if we'll have a chance to use the express buses tomorrow, because the nature of those is that you're hopping between parks. And I don't know if we'll have a chance to do that, but we will soon. We're definitely gonna try that out. So anyway, that wraps up Thursday travel day. And we are excited to get started in the parks and doing stuff tomorrow. And I'll be back to let you know how that goes. Until then, I will see ya. Hello again. This is a recap of day two, Friday, January 20th at Disney World. It feels like it has been a whole week that we fit into one day, but no, it's just a day. And the good part about that is that we have several days left, so it doesn't feel like the trip goes by too fast. So let's walk through how today went. First of all, we did sleep in a little bit because of the late night. I don't think we got to sleep until around 2:30 in the morning, something like that. And so I wasn't about to get up super early, but we did sleep in. And once we got up and got ourselves ready to go, we walked to Disney Springs and had lunch at Chef Art Smith's restaurant, which is called Homecoming Kitchen. And so this was our first time seeing Saratoga Springs in the daylight because we arrived at night. And so we kind of had to get our bearings for how to navigate and find the path to Disney Springs. It wasn't too hard. The temperatures were amazing. It was like 78 to 80 degrees, gorgeous day. Our room happens to have a view of Disney Springs, so that's nice. If we want to just step outside, we can always see it. It's not noisy. Someone did ask me that on Facebook or Instagram, and it's not noisy. If we sit outside, we can hear a little bit of something from Disney Springs, but it is not loud, and we definitely don't hear it in our room. But anyway, we made our way over to Disney Springs. I did look into making a reservation before we went, because a lot of times when I decide last minute to eat somewhere, I will go ahead and make a reservation. But Homecoming Kitchen actually doesn't allow you to make last-minute reservations. They make you do it ahead of time. If you try to do it for same day on the website, it says reservations must be booked at least one day in advance for this restaurant. But I decided, and also I did check Open Table. A lot of restaurants in Disney Springs are available through Open Table, but not this one. So I decided we would just walk over there, and it was no problem. It wasn't busy. They sat us right down. So a little bit of background, Art Smith, it used to be Oprah Chef, and that's, I was a huge, huge Oprah fan when her TV show was on, and he was on her TV show all the time. So I've known who Art Smith was for a long time. I actually met him a couple years ago. He was at the Food and Wine Festival, one of the special events at Epcot. And I saw him walking around across the room. Nobody seemed to know who he was, but I fangirled, freaked out, and got a picture with him. So I have been wanting to eat at this restaurant ever since I heard it was coming to Disney Springs, just because I've known who he was and knew he was very good at what he does. So anyway, it's kind of a casual Southern, it's like upscale Southern cooking. It's a lot of fried chicken and that sort of thing. So it's not healthy, that's for sure, but it is delicious. Our family happens to not eat chicken on the bone. So I knew that was going to be a little bit of a conundrum for us. But the way I got around that was I just ordered a chicken sandwich. So it was fried chicken. I posted a picture of it on Instagram. And it was really good. Service was great, easy to get in. I think that what we ordered was fairly moderately priced, but you can definitely get more expensive foods. Some people have said that Homecoming Kitchen is their favorite restaurant in Disney Springs, which is a big thing to say because there are so many. There's just a ton of good places to eat in Disney Springs, and that's another good one on the list. So if you're looking for something that it might be a good option for you, I'm checking the dining plan information because I know people will ask. It is a table service credit if you happen to be on the dining plan. So anyway, they do accept annual pass holder discounts, which is fantastic since I happen to be one. And so that was our lunch. And then we came back and I spent some time taking pictures of Saratoga Springs because every time I stay at a resort, I kind of do a walking photo tour and try to get pictures of all like of the exteriors of the room, of the main building, the amenities, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I uploaded, I think, 42 pictures to Facebook. I might add more to, I have a photo album for Saratoga Springs Resort. One of the interesting things that people seem to love when I posted the pictures was that there is a community hall that is close to the main building here. And you can drop in and do things like crafts and ceramics, which I think is kind of unique compared to other resorts. And so I posted a picture of the price list and examples of different things that you can choose from. And I really think Saratoga Springs is ideal for multi-generation trips because the average age here is much higher than at most other resorts. You know, most other resorts are loud and there's lots of families with little kids running around, which is, you know, to be expected because it's Disney World. But resorts like this one in Old Key West tend to have an average age that's a lot higher. So it's a little bit more of an adult feel. So if you happen to be traveling with three generations, I think the senior generations of the family will feel comfortable. It's just a little bit more laid back, a little bit more quiet. If you happen to, you know, stay here and make time to explore the resort, then you could drop in the ceramics, and do ceramics together at the community hall. And there's some on-site restaurants, which we ended up eating at for dinner. I'll get to that in a second. So I just think it's really great for three generation traveling. I think it makes everybody comfortable and you can walk to Disney Springs. And if you have a car, that's even better because it's easier to get around that way. But anyway, did this photo tour. So if you have any interest in staying at Saratoga, be sure to check that out. And then we did have dinner at the Turf Club here, which I do try to eat at the restaurants whenever I stay at the resorts too. If you haven't heard me talk about my sort of philosophy, I'm trying to stay at every resort at Disney World. And my personal rule is I have to stay at least two nights because if you stay only one night, you end up staying less than 24 hours. And I try to enjoy as many of the amenities as I can and eat on site just to get a real, like, you know, overall picture of the resort. So anyway, we did eat at the table service restaurant, Turf Club. I made the reservation only like an hour, I think, before we went. And we went there. The weather was so amazing today that we opted to eat on the patio. And it was the perfect night. It's not going to stay perfect for our trip. And so I just really wanted to take advantage. The food was delicious. I had read mixed reviews online, but we had a really great time. I had a pork chop and Brussels sprouts, and the menu listed wine pairings. It suggested a Riesling. I do not normally drink Riesling because it's too sweet for me, but I wanted to get the Riesling because it paired well with the pork chop, and it ended up being my favorite Riesling I've ever had, and that was a nice surprise. My son got a steak and asparagus. It came with asparagus and mashed potatoes, and he said all of it was good. So our waiter was good. All of that. They do accept annual pass holder discounts as well, which was really great because that saved us a chunk of change. Anyway, loved that experience. I didn't have really high expectations, but ended up really coming away with a great impression. So from there, we walked to a bus stop and we caught a bus to Magic Kingdom because we had tickets to the Magic Kingdom after hours. And that's what most people have been asking me about lately because they knew we were going to try it. So when I first posted that I was going to be going on this trip, I kind of had a little list of things I was going to do. And a lot of people suggested that we do the Magic Kingdom after hours. I did not want to do it originally, but so many people suggested it that I went ahead and got tickets. My general philosophy in the past has been that extra events and dessert parties and all this kind of stuff were such a waste of money and a total money grab on the part of Disney. And it just always drives me crazy because I think, oh my gosh, first timers are going to think they have to do this, and they totally don't. But people keep doing them and loving them and asking me to do them. And so I thought, okay, I've got to try this and see how it goes. So we went. So when you get the Magic Kingdom After Hours tickets, they're available on just certain nights. Right now they're available through, I think, March 9th. And they are normally priced around, let's see, I'm looking it up. I have the tab open, $119. But I used the annual pass holder discount and paid $89. So they're not cheap. But if you listen to the last podcast where I interviewed Gina about her trip and she used a VIP tour guide, she makes a really good point there, which is that you can spend money to do more in less time. And that's really what this is. So if you think $119 sounds like a lot, and it's not it isn't nothing, that's for sure, for 5 hours, because you can get in it from at 7 o'clock and stay till midnight, then that may not sound reasonable. But if you think of it as doing a lot of attractions in a short amount of time, then it might be worth it, especially if you have a short trip. So if you happen to have, you know, a 4-day trip and you want to do as much at Magic Kingdom as possible, and you could book this, then you could pretty much do everything that you wanted at Magic Kingdom in just the 5 hours that you're allowed. So we happen to show up right at 7 o'clock, which is the earliest that you can get in if you just have a Magic Kingdom after hours ticket. And there's a special line that you go through when you're, you know, scan your Magic Band to get in the park. And when you go through that line, you scan your Magic Band, and then they give you a lanyard that says that you are going to be staying after. And other parties, they do have done armbands, but this was a lanyard. And they also handed out a little flyer that said which rides are going to be open. And it also indicated that you could get ice cream treats and bottled drinks and popcorn throughout the park. So we showed up at 7 and the park was open till 9. The nice thing about being allowed in at 7 is that it gives you time to see the castle projection show, Once Upon a Time. Tonight was my first time seeing it. And Wishes, which was at 8 o'clock. And then you, you know, can pretty much go into whatever rides and stuff that you want to do after that. So I had hoped to be able to tell you if you wanted to see the Once Upon a Time video that you could go to Facebook, because I did Facebook Live. But afterwards, Facebook deleted my video. So I can't tell you to do that. But it was my first time seeing the show. I don't love it more than Celebrate the Magic, which was the previous castle projection show. It's missing some sentimental element for me. But they're really, really great projections. And I actually texted Heather while I was sitting there. And I said, we need to make sure that this is on our schedule on the website, because a lot of people don't even know it exists. But whenever Wishes is scheduled, usually the projections are about 30 minutes before that. Disney doesn't include it on their hours when they first put them out, and so we don't put them on ours. But for your sake, I think that we should probably start doing that. Anyway, so got in, we did those two shows. And then we just started, you know, looking for rides to ride. Most people leave after the fireworks, and so the park gets fairly empty. So I wanted to tell you what we did in 2.5 hours. Not everything in the park is open, but most of the things that you would probably want to do are open. My son kind of thinks this is the perfect situation, because he doesn't necessarily, his favorite part of like Christmas party, that Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, are the walk-on rides and the snacks that you can get throughout the park. He does not like the parade and the fireworks. He just wants to do those things. And that's exactly what this is snacks and rides. And okay, so here are the rides that we did in 2.5 hours. We did Jungle Cruise, Pirates of the Caribbean, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, Splash Mountain, Winnie the Pooh, Peter Pan's Flight, the Teacups, which I hadn't done in years, by the way, but tonight there was no line. We walked on and we didn't spend too much. We did Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. We did the Speedway, which I hadn't done in years, and still a disappointment. More disappointing than I remember it being. We did Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, and we did Space Mountain twice. And we stopped for snacks 4 times. People were getting bottled water, Diet Cokes, popcorns, Mickey bars. It was just fun. And we just did so much in 2.5 hours that we left early. And so on our way out, we got a PhotoPass picture, which I posted on Facebook and Instagram, because the PhotoPass photographer had said to us, act like you know each other. And I said, well, I've known him for 15 years. And he said, congratulations. And I said, he's my son. I've known his father a few years longer than that. Anyway, it was really silly. But our picture is, it looks like Main Street is dead, because it practically was. The park, there just weren't that many people. So it was really, really fantastic. And so I'm telling you this to say that I kind of went in not wanting to do it, not thinking it was going to be worth it, and coming away thinking, I can see how this makes sense for a lot of people. You can just do so much in such a small amount of time, and it's not hot. You can get great pictures. You can get snacks. I mean, it's just fun. So I kind of do recommend it for people who, especially people that have shorter trips who, you know, need to fit in the parks in a shorter amount of time than normally would be expected. Because, I mean, we did more in 2.5 hours than most people do in, you know, several hours. So I kind of liked it. And so that worked really well for us. And when we came out to go to the bus stops, I was a little afraid that there was going to be no buses because there weren't very many people in the park. So I thought, oh no, we're going to have to wait. But every bus stop had buses. And so we got on our bus and the bus driver asked us which stops we needed at our resort because Saratoga Springs has 5 internal stops. So we didn't have to sit, we didn't have to stop at any unnecessary stops. So we were back to our room in no time. Anyway, really great way to end the day. If you have any questions that I can help answer, feel free to chime in on Facebook or Instagram or email me, Shannon@wdwprepschool.com. And I'd be glad to give you any information that I can. But anyway, I was pleasantly surprised. So tomorrow, we are doing the Star Wars dessert party. And I just told you earlier, I have never really been a huge fan of all these extra parties, but this is another one people requested. And I think that this is probably the best value because I know how hard it is to get a spot for the Star Wars projection show at Hollywood Studios. And so I'm looking forward to trying it out tomorrow. I think we're going to sneak in some Animal Kingdom time because I realized when I made out the schedule, we didn't have a lot of time slated there at all. So I think we'll start our day there and then use the express bus passes to get ourselves from Animal Kingdom to Hollywood Studios for the Star Wars dessert party. And I will be back here tomorrow night to tell you all about that. So until then, I will see you on social media if you are on Facebook or Instagram in particular. So I will talk to you later. So this is my recap of our time on Saturday, January 21st. Basically, I'm not going to have as much to talk about today as I did yesterday, but we arrived at Hollywood Studios in the afternoon. I had originally thought we would do Animal Kingdom first part of the day, but we kind of got a slower start and went to Hollywood Studios in the afternoon. Didn't have a lot planned. We were just kind of enjoying the nice weather while it lasts because tomorrow's probably not going to be like that. And so we started off with Rock and Roller Coaster and the single rider line. And I wanted to mention this because 3 rides have single rider lines and Rock and Roller Coaster is one of them. The other 2 are Expedition Everest and Test Track. But for some reason, the single rider line on Rock and Roller Coaster doesn't move very fast. We did it because we didn't have fast passes or anything, but it doesn't move really fast. And so I just wanted to point that out, that if you're trying to debate if you want to use it, maybe reconsider. Fast pass is better. We just did it because we didn't have any fast passes available to book for our time. Another thing I wanted to mention before I get into the main event, which is the Star Wars dessert party, is that we went to the Frozen sing-along. And I think a lot of people overlook it because they think, I'm tired of Let It Go. I'm tired of the whole Frozen thing. And especially if you're not into Frozen in the first place, you might dismiss it. But it's really underrated, and I wanted you to consider it as part of your plans because it's so good. I posted a video of the show is hosted by historians, Arendelle historians, and they're really the main attraction. Like, I know people are there for Anna and Elsa and that whole thing, but they're really not on stage that much. It's the historians from Arendelle. They're really, really funny. And we have been seeing the show for a couple of years now. And I thought it was pretty good then, and it's only gotten better. It's hilarious. The guy next to me was a dad of young kids, and he was kind of tired, and it's a long wait, and it's kind of irritating, you know, waiting for it to start, and everybody's tired by you know, afternoon and all that kind of stuff. So he didn't have like a great attitude before it started, but he was cracking up the entire time. He loved it so much. So if you hadn't considered the Frozen Sing Along, maybe throw that in your plan just because it's totally worth it. The theater does fill up for pretty much every performance. I recommend getting a fast pass, but the fast pass will tell you 30 minutes beforehand to show up. Like at 4:30 show up at 4 o'clock. And I would suggest showing up a little bit later because the queue where they hold you, you're not allowed to sit down and it gets very hot because a lot of people are packed in. So don't show up necessarily at 4 o'clock, but maybe at 15 minutes after, before they start loading everybody into the theater, that's a good time to show up. That guarantees you have a seat, but it prevents you from having to stand in all those people. And it's just really hard with kids. There's the cast members are constantly telling the kids they can't sit down, which is just really irritating. You have to stand there for the whole time. And it's just this great big kind of holding area, concrete holding area. So you would think that you could sit down while you wait, but that is not permitted. Anyway, so put Frozen Sing Along on your list if you haven't already, and maybe consider a fast pass for it as well. So the main attraction today, and really the reason we went to Hollywood Studios, was for the Star Wars dessert party. And so there's dessert parties available at Epcot for Illuminations. There's also a dessert party at Magic Kingdom for Wishes. And I think I'm going to do a comparison of all three just to kind of, so you can kind of see how they compare. That's what comparisons are for, I guess. But anyway, it's a Star Wars dessert party. We hadn't done it before. It's held in Star Wars Launch Bay, which is a building where a lot of the Star Wars stuff is. And so they have tables kind of just set up in this sort of cordoned off section, and then tons and tons of desserts. Now, the tickets said to show up at 6:30, and we did, and the whole room was full by then. So I would suggest that you show up a little earlier than they suggest, because apparently they will let you in. And then once you're in there, the desserts are amazing. I've done the Magic Kingdom one, and it wasn't nearly as good as this. This is like, you know, warm bread puddings and brownies and somebody standing right there ready to scoop an ice cream on top of your warm bread pudding, and alcohol's included. There's a bar. A lot of people avoided the bar because they thought that it was extra and that they would have to, you know, pull out more cash for it, but it's not. It's totally included. They make the drink strong. When I ordered a rum punch, they would give me two, which, you know, just saved time. I didn't have to go get in line again. And there's soft drinks and lemonades and all kinds of stuff. So food-wise and drink-wise, fantastic. The most irritating part about the whole thing is that the tables don't have chairs. So, you know, after walking all day, here you are with your desserts and your drinks, and you just have to stand there with them, which is just, it's definitely the worst part of the whole thing. There were family, I always try to observe families to see how they're doing and how they like things. And the family seemed really irritated because the kids were restless. There was nowhere for them to sit, and they can't eat that much usually. You know, the kids would be like, I'm full. And the parents would be irritated because they paid all this money and hoped that they would eat a bunch of desserts, and they just don't eat that much. And a lot of them had lightsabers and they were hitting people, and so they're constantly having to keep track of the kids. So I think with really little kids, it's probably not the best idea, but for kids that can kind of, you know, have some patience and maybe eat a few desserts, then it makes more sense. So that was the dessert portion of it. And then about 15 minutes before the Star Wars Galactic Spectacular happens, they lead you all of us, to a section that is reserved in front. And what's great about this is that if you are going to see the show, you really have to be up close. And so most people would camp out, you know, 30, 45 minutes ahead of time waiting for it to begin. But we got to sort of just stroll in a few minutes beforehand, and we had it's a really great location for it. And as we walked in, they gave us this Chewbacca mug. So that's another thing that's included. And then the show started, and we were able to get out pretty easily. So overall, really great. I highly recommend it if you want to do a dessert party, and if your kids are just a little bit older, because the little ones didn't seem to enjoy it all that much. But I really liked it. It's my favorite of the dessert parties, I think. So if you were considering it, I say go for it. And I think you'll like it. Of course, we don't know how long the Star Wars show is going to be extended. It hasn't appeared on the schedule too far in advance. But as long as it's still offered, they will have the dessert party, I assume. So I would recommend that. So tomorrow, we have Epcot in our plans. And the thing that is tricky about it is that the weather is going to get bad. It's going to be rainy and chilly and all that kind of stuff. But we have reservations in the afternoon. We booked the Epcot Festival of the Arts dining package. So we're eating at Rose and Crown for that. And then tomorrow evening, it gives you a voucher to go see the Broadway performers that are appearing this weekend. And we're excited about that. But we'll have to see what happens if the weather is bad. I'm not sure how that will be handled. I guess we'll find out. I'll let you know when I'm back here tomorrow night. So until then, please be sure to check out Facebook and Instagram posts. I post photos and information throughout my days that are in addition to anything that I say here, and you might find those helpful. So I will talk to you tomorrow night. So this is going to be a brief recap of Sunday, January 22nd. We did not get to do a lot of things today, primarily because bad weather came in. So we intentionally got a late start going into Epcot. We have had some late nights. I've had some work to do in the mornings. And so we didn't head out until a little after lunchtime today. And that was okay, except that we got interrupted by weather. So basically, a quick recap of our Epcot time today. The Festival of the Arts is going on, and we were able to do a little bit. They have some photo op things. They have food booths. They have lots of pretty flowers and signage and that kind of stuff. So we saw all that. We went to the Festival Center, which has lots of things on display and special drinks. I had a cranberry mule with a podcast listener and acquaintance that I have met through here, Denise. Hello, Denise. And, so kind of did some of that sort of stuff. But then we had also booked a Festival of the Arts dining package, which basically means that you eat at a restaurant at a weird time, in our case, 3:45, and then you get vouchers to go see the Broadway performance. Unfortunately, in our case, it was rained out and we didn't get to use the vouchers, but we did get to eat at Rose and Crown. And it's really one of the best restaurants at Epcot, I think. There's so many choices, so it's kind of hard to narrow it down, but we've always had good experiences at Rose and Crown. With the dining package, you get to choose appetizer, entree, and dessert, and non-alcoholic drinks. And so with my son and I both together, we each got different options in each category, and we shared each item. So we got to have lots of different foods. The cheese plate was especially a highlight for me for the appetizer. And then we both really liked the fish and chips. It's obviously one of their specialties for the entree. And then for the dessert, we had English trifle. So that was really good. And we were just stuffed. They also have great beer. I had one of their golden brews that they have there at Rose and Crown. So service is great, food is great, all that kind of stuff. Just a bummer that the vouchers that we had to go see the performance, which we were really looking forward to, weren't usable because a torrential downpour came in. And let's see, what else did we do? I kind of hung around the International Gateway while we were looking to see what the weather was going to do. And if you're not familiar, the International Gateway is it's an exit or entrance in the World Showcase section of Epcot. And the reason I was hanging around the International Gateway was because if the rain came in, I wanted to walk out that way and go over to the Beach Club, which is about a 5 or 10 minute walk, and then catch an Uber from there back to our hotel. It's a lot closer to do that than it is to walk to the front of Epcot and then over to the bus stops. So I was kind of hanging out there because if the rain cleared, we would have been in the vicinity of their performance. But if the rain set in, we were also pretty close to be able to leave and go catch an Uber from the Beach Club. Unfortunately, the rain came in, lightning, just like the sidewalks were flooded. We were soaked by the time we got to the Beach Club. We walked in the Beach Club and they were handing out towels to everybody so they could, dry off. And it was just a mess. So that was kind of a bummer. A podcast listener had expressed interest in an item that was merchandise that's for sale at Epcot, and I was able to pick that up and ship that out. So maybe it's one of you. We'll see. So that was a nice thing to be able to do. But we just didn't really get to do a whole lot. But tomorrow I'm doing the Magic Kingdom opening show. This will be the first time rope dropping a park since we've been here. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how it works now and telling you about that. And then tomorrow night, we have a reservation at California Grill, which is my son's favorite place to eat at Disney World. And you just can't beat the food, the service, and the view from up there. I definitely think it's a huge highlight. So we'll be doing that tomorrow night. So I hope to have more to tell you tomorrow. But as often happens on trips in a Disney World, rain can get in the way. And that's just what happened today. So let's hope for tomorrow being a better day. And I'll be back to tell you all about it then. And until next time, I will see ya. Okay, I have today's recap, January 23rd, Monday. I actually have to think a little too hard when I say the day and the date because it's easy to lose track of time when you are at Disney World. So the good news is that I have a lot of things to actually tell you about from today. Today started with a rope drop at Magic Kingdom. I am a big fan of rope drop, especially at Magic Kingdom, because it's a good chance to get all of the rides done before it gets busy. So whenever I'm on property and using buses, I really like to make sure I'm on a bus that's pretty close to 8 o'clock. And I've learned that I have to kind of go before 8 o'clock because sometimes it comes a few minutes before. And if you miss that one, you don't want to have to wait until like 8:15 because that really makes a big difference. So today I left my hotel room at 7:45, got on the bus at 7:57, got to Magic Kingdom at 8:17. And was able to go into the park. I think I had gone through security, entered the park, ordered my coffee at Starbucks on Main Street and had that by 8:30 and was ready and waiting for the park to open. So a couple things about the park opening that I wanted to mention. First of all, if you're getting off the buses, there are bag check security lines that are set up specifically in the morning that serves that area, which is great. If you've ever been before, you always would have to get off the buses and kind of wrap around the front of Magic Kingdom. But now they have a different area set up. I hope it continues. I don't know what their plan is, but I hope it continues because it's really convenient. And then after you go through bag check and the metal detectors and all that kind of stuff, and you scan your magic band, then you have basically all of Main Street available to you until the park officially opens at 9. That includes taking PhotoPass pictures, and that also includes three different places that you can have a quick service breakfast. One of them is Starbucks, which is where I went. Another is Casey's Corner, which is a hot dog place, but now they have some breakfast options. And then the other is Ice Cream Parlor, which, yes, it is as strange as it sounds. You can have ice cream for breakfast. But so that's all going on Main Street until they open the park. A little bit before park opening, 9 o'clock, there is a stage show in front of the castle where they bring out characters and the whole thing to officially open the park. And one of the things that people have really wondered about is how to go from this area, which is the hub area of Magic Kingdom, and navigate to the other sections of the park, like to start your park touring. And so today on Facebook, I uploaded a little batch of pictures, including a picture of the hub area, and pointed out the parts that where people kind of build up, where the lines start to form. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is the most popular attraction that people want to get on right away. So the path that goes over to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is the one that starts building the fastest. And then there are a few other paths that you can line up at. And so I just sort of did a quick graphic to show you where you can line up and how you can start touring. I happened to line up in front of the castle. And so as soon as they cleared the characters off the stage and allowed the path to open up, we were able to get into Fantasyland. And then from there, I basically followed my own touring plans because I like to test them and make sure that what I'm telling people is actually still working, because sometimes things change. And an attraction that used to have a line that built quickly might change over time as it, you know, becomes less popular or whatever. So I followed my own touring plans for the first few hours of the day. And for the most part, they worked really well. I didn't have a fast pass at all. I didn't have any fast passes, and I usually do recommend that. But anyway, it went pretty well. I was able to also see the new Muppets show in Liberty Square, and they do a little history lesson thing about once per hour. And so I posted a video on Facebook of that, and I'm told that that presentation changes. So the stories that they tell, the history lessons that they tell, changed between shows. So that's I think a fun thing, but definitely like a time filler thing. You wouldn't want to do that in the morning when there are a lot of other things to do that are good to do in the morning before the lines build. So anyway, I was able to do that. And then at around 12:15 or so, I left and came back to the hotel. My son and I walked to Disney Springs, and that is one of the perks of staying here at Saratoga Springs. We walked to Disney Springs, and especially if you are just going to stay on the end, the marketplace end of Disney Springs, it's a pretty quick walk, and we had lunch at Wolfgang Puck Express. We ordered a pizza, which if you're on the dining plan, it's a quick service credit, and one pizza can be split amongst people, so it's a really good value and make sure credits stretch. We're not on the dining plan, but we ordered one pizza to share between us and walked back to our hotel, spent the afternoon doing some work because I still have to do some computer work and all that kind of administrative part of my job. And then we went back out this evening. Our first stop was California Grill, which is one of our favorite restaurants, especially my son. That's located at the top level of the Contemporary Hotel. It is fantastic for a lot of reasons. Great service, fantastic food, especially if you like sushi. We love sushi. And great views because it's just this panoramic view of the whole Bay Lake Magic Kingdom area. And if you're looking for romance, they certainly have that. You can also go back and watch Wish's Fireworks if you would like to. If you happen to be there during Wish's Fireworks, then you can just go on the balcony and watch it. If you eat there earlier in the day, you can come back and watch Wish's Fireworks from their balcony, which I love. We did not do that tonight because what we did do was we left California Grill, took the monorail over to Epcot, and we were there to see the Broadway performers that we missed last night because of the storms that came in. We entered the front of Epcot, and the performance is all the way at the back in the American Adventure section, like couldn't be any further from the front. So we knew we were going to have to be quick to get back there, but I made a stop by guest relations first, and I said to them, we got rained out, so our vouchers that we had for seating that were part of our dining package, we didn't get to use them. Is there anything you can do for us? And what I was hoping they could do was just give us vouchers for tonight. We just wanted like the same thing, but on a new night. And they said they couldn't do that, but they did end up refunding me some money onto a Disney gift card. So that was nice. I wasn't expecting that, but they were happy to do that. So if you run into that situation, it does not hurt to ask. So after our visit to guest relations, we walked to the American Adventure section. And it turns out that it wasn't busy at all tonight. So Festival of the Arts has performances Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And Monday is kind of unusual because for other festivals that they have, it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But this one with that Monday thing makes it a little bit different and a lot less busy. So if you happen to be coming and want to visit and don't want to worry about dining packages and all that kind of stuff, it seems that Monday is a good time to go. I talked to some people that had been before, some local people that had been attending these performances, and that seems to be the consensus. So that's a good tip for you that we just accidentally found out. But anyway, so it was not, there weren't a ton of people there, so we were able to get a good seat. And the performers were Ashley Brown and I think his name is Josh Strickland. We were definitely there more for her, although both have had really great roles in Disney shows on Broadway. But she sang songs from Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid. But she was also the original Mary Poppins on Broadway, which was the highlight for us as big Mary Poppins fans. So that was really great. And if you heard me last night talking about leaving Epcot and going to the Beach Club and catching an Uber, we repeated that again tonight. Walking all the way back to the front of the park and then over to the bus stop, I just didn't want to do that. So we just exited, went to the Beach Club, and got an Uber again. So that was really easy. It was not just the walking that is the problem because it is a long walk, but it's also that it's been very windy and chilly. The last song that they sang at the Disney Broadway performers was Frozen, and they kind of made a joke about how the cold, you know, had moved in for the, you know, song or whatever. And it was just really chilly. So it was nice to just be able to kind of sneak out to the beach club and then get into a car and have it drop us off right at our building. That was really convenient. And then we came back to the hotel. So overall, good day, very productive day. And tomorrow I had left completely open originally. I didn't book anything. I didn't make any plans because I wanted to kind of get a feel for what to do. And we still have not tested the express buses. It just has not worked out. We haven't needed to hop or had a chance to hop. So tomorrow I'm purposely going to hop just for that purpose. And also going to do a rope drop at Epcot. Because the rope drop touring plans for Epcot are the most challenging because there are three headliners, Test Trek, Soarin', and Frozen Ever After. And so it's always really tricky to know how to navigate that. And so I'm going to be there and seeing how it goes. It used to be really easy. I had that touring plan down, memorized, no lines, easy. But now it's a lot trickier with Frozen Ever After. So I'm going to be there at Rope Drop to do that. And then we're going to do some hopping. Who knows where? We're just going to hop. Just hop for hop's sake. So we'll see what happens. And I will be here tomorrow night to tell you all about it. So that's it for now. I'll see you back here in 24 hours. Tuesday, January 24th. I have a recap for you. And if I sound delirious, it is because I am. Only got a couple hours of sleep last night and then spent today visiting all four theme parks. And here is how. We finally got to try out the express transportation buses, which ended up being, spoiler alert, awesome. So I want to walk you through it. I just did a Facebook post that has pictures and information and tips. So I would highly recommend that you go to the Facebook page and check that out if you're interested in this option. But let me just walk through it with you audibly, and you will probably be able to sense my enthusiasm and delirium at the same time. Okay, so the first things first is that there are two different options for the express transportation. One is $15 and it's basically just a one-day thing. The other is $24 and that actually can last for a whole week. So if you plan to use it more than one day, it makes sense to get the $24 option for your whole trip. But we were just going to use it for today. So we got the $15 option. And what it does is it allows you to take these special buses between the parks. And by being able to take these buses between the parks, you are actually exiting and entering within the park. You don't have to go out the entrance. You don't have to go back through security. None of that. You get your own sort of VIP bus. And it can save a lot of time. You do have to have a park hopper ticket or an annual pass in order to do this because you are hopping parks by using these buses. So anyway, that's kind of the gist of it. And so what we did was went to Animal Kingdom guest relations window and bought it there. You can also buy it at theme park ticket windows. Disney Springs has a ticket window. Disney Resort Hotel Concierge has some places. Swan and Dolphin has ticket desks, and there are kiosks at the actual express transportation check-in locations within the parks. So lots of different places to buy it. And what they do is if you have a Magic Band, they scan it and they add it to your Magic Band. If you don't have a Magic Band, they'll do that with your park ticket so that every time you check in at one of the express locations, they just scan you in. It'll show that you have a ticket and that way you can board. So we did that at Animal Kingdom before entering the park. And then we had a couple of fast passes to use in Animal Kingdom. So we did single rider line on Expedition Everest, which happens to be my favorite ride. And we did Festival of the Lion King, which is a great show. And then finally, we used a Fast Pass Plus at Kilimanjaro Safari. And the reason it was planned like this is because the check-in location at Animal Kingdom is back next to Kilimanjaro Safari. So we went and checked in there. They told us it was going to be a little bit before our bus came because it's every 30 minutes. And so we waited for that time and then finally got checked in and we were led to our bus. Now, the people that lead you to the bus have plaid vests on. Which is what VIP tour guides wear at Disney World. And so they take you backstage, and backstage means that you are going back where the cast members are and there are no pictures allowed. So you have to put your pictures away to walk to the bus. And then you board a bus. The buses look just like the ones that take you between resorts at Disney World. And then you board that bus and it takes you to the next park. So then you get taken to the location wherever you're going. We went from Animal Kingdom to Hollywood Studios. So we were dropped off at Rock and Roller Coaster. And then we did a couple things in Hollywood Studios. And as soon as I checked in for my last FastPass Plus at Hollywood Studios, I opened the app and I got a FastPass Plus for the next park. So then we would board the bus and we would go to the next park. If you plan to do anything like what I am describing, I would suggest that as soon as you arrive at the park, the express check-in area, that you ask what the schedule is to get to the next park, because they only leave every 30 minutes. You don't want to end up, you know, wasting 29 minutes waiting for the next bus. So you might as well get the schedule. So for instance, they might tell you this bus leaves at 10:40 after the hour. And that way you can come back in that range and not waste too much time. So anyway, we did the Hollywood Studios thing. And I got FastPass Plus for the next park. We went to Epcot. We rode Test Track Single Rider Line, got some food. Then we ended up, our very last park was Magic Kingdom. And I had one final FastPass for Space Mountain, which is right by the place where they drop you off next to Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. So that was really convenient. And all in all, it was just not very much money for a lot of convenience and a chance to feel like a VIP. And so we really, really liked it. My son especially liked it a lot more than I anticipated. And right now, the cast members told me that this is kind of a testing thing. I didn't see it promoted anywhere. Like there aren't signs that are encouraging you to buy it. I actually had to seek it out. I just had no idea, you know, where the desks were or whatever. But I had to kind of seek it out. So it's in testing right now, and I'm really, really hoping that it sticks around because I really love the option. And it was a really great way for us to end our final park day because it allowed us to go to all the parks, do a couple things that we hadn't done. For instance, my son loves Great Movie Ride, and we hadn't done that yet. I really wanted to check out the new Pizza Rizzo restaurant at Hollywood Studios, so we're able to do that. So it was a great like sampler. We're able to eat food in all the parks and have just a little bit here and there. It was a really fantastic day. So anyway, I really liked it. I hope it sticks around. I think it's fantastic for certain situations if you want to spend some time hopping. And so it worked really well, actually much more than I would have ever thought. So we'll see what happens with that. Tomorrow is the day that we fly home. I don't know if I'll have another podcast or not. It kind of depends if I end up in the parks tomorrow morning. I often do go to the parks the morning before leaving, but we have our Magical Express notification that says we're being picked up 3 hours before our flight, and we will check in our bags at the airline check-in desk in the morning at the hotel. So I'm not sure if this will be the last daily update or not, but either way, there will be a podcast put together with all these clips. So it's all in kind of one more cohesive package. A lot of you told me that you've really enjoyed these daily updates. So appreciate you tuning in and listening. But anyway, overall, really great trip. Fantastic weather this time of year. I mean, we had some rain and some wind and that kind of stuff, but just temperature wise, so amazing to be able to throw on a sweater in the evenings instead of sweating all day. I'm still a little bit damaged from last June because it was 105 heat index and we were here for the whole month. And it was like that for every day except for three. So anyway, this time of year is just, it's just so lovely. And the crowds are moderate and all that. So really like it. Anyway, so I will be seeing you either for one more update or for an actual formal podcast. But thanks for following along. I appreciate it. Be sure to check out Instagram and the Facebook page for more information about the things that I have talked about on the podcast. Thanks. Talk to you next time. And I am back home now and ready to give you some of my thoughts about our last day and some just sort of post-trip thoughts. So if you thought this episode was long, it's about to get a little bit longer. Our last day, I ended up not going into a park that day, but we did get our stuff packed up and checked it at the airline check-in desk at the hotel, which is one of the best perks about staying on site, is that you can check your bags and not have to worry about transporting them. Also, we are flying Southwest and I get early bird check-in, so they automatically check us in. And then Disney prints out the boarding passes and brings it to the room. My son and I also got TSA PreCheck. I have TSA PreCheck, and because I put that on my reservation, he also got it. That's not a guaranteed thing, especially with an older child, but we happen to both get it on this trip. So the reason I'm telling you that is that we had already checked our bags, already had our boarding passes, and we have TSA PreCheck, so I decided we were not going to take the Magical Express bus back because it picks you up 3 hours in advance, and we did not need that kind of time at the airport. So we decided to Uber back to the airport and instead spend the time in Disney Springs. So after we checked our bags, we hopped on the bus because from Saratoga, you can walk, take a boat, or take a bus, and we took a bus. The bus happens to take you right to the middle of Disney Springs, which is really convenient. And I told my son we could eat anywhere that he wanted to for our last day, and so he chose Morimoto Asia, which happens to be one of his favorite spots, mostly because he's a sushi lover. And so that's how we spent our last morning at Disney World. Then we got an Uber and headed to the airport and made it home. I wanted to give you some sort of thoughts in hindsight about this trip. One is our Saratoga Springs room location. I had booked a preferred studio. I think the preferred designation at Saratoga is a new thing. Whenever an area of a resort gets requested a lot, Disney calls it preferred and makes you pay a little bit more. And it happens to be that Congress Park is included in the preferred location. So we were in Congress Park, which is the closest to Disney Springs, and I had requested ground floor, personal preference, and I got that. So that was good to be able to get what we requested. The other area at Saratoga Springs, if you're considering staying there, that I think makes a lot of sense is the Springs section, which is closest to the main building and all the, you know, the main pool and the restaurants and all that kind of stuff. So those both make a lot of sense depending on what you are prioritizing. It's a really, 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 really large resort. So the closer you can be to things, the better, I think. Okay, so that's Saratoga Springs. And I want to talk about crowds. So you may have heard me say in the clips that it was just really low crowds and really laid back. And that is true. But what always happens on all my trips is I will come away with an impression like, oh, those crowds weren't too bad. That's often my impression because I know what busy crowds look like. But when I come home, people email me and say, I just got back and it was really busy crowds. And I can't believe that you told us it was going to be moderate crowds, or people will comment on social media. And here, humbly, I must say to you that I have been to Disney World a lot more than most people. And I know what low crowds look like. I know what busy crowds look like. And if I say that the crowds were low or moderate, then that's probably the case. But the truth is that Disney World's never empty. There's always going to be people. You're always going to need a touring plan. You're always going to need fast pass reservations. There's always going to be waits. So it's just a matter of how long those are or how severe those are. That really varies throughout the year. So if you've never been, please get it in your head. There will be people. There will be lots of people. But when you plan, those things don't really get in the way much. But just don't go in thinking it's going to be empty parks just because it's a low or moderate crowd time. This was great crowds, in my opinion. And that's exactly what we expected. And that's exactly what happened. I already have plans for a next trip. I'm going with friends March 3rd through the 7th. So these daily clips were a hit. And so I'm going to try to do those again on the next trip. We are going to repeat the express transportation buses and try to hit four parks in one day. And we are going to be doing Rivers of Light because that just started. And we have a dining package to do that. So lots of fun stuff in the works. That's March 3rd through the 7th. And I expect that will also be nice weather and low crowd. So we'll see what happens with that. Before we wrap it up today, I did want to give you a quick tip of the day, which was emailed in by Kim. She says, "Hey, Shannon, my daughter was a little nervous about the dark rides, but wanted to go on them. And it made such a difference for me to buy glow sticks that last about 5 hours, and I kept them in my bag. When we got on rides like Peter Pan, Dinosaur, and the Great Movie Ride, I would hand it to her. It was enough light to comfort her, but not distract other guests from the ride experience." And so I think that's a really great tip. I happen to be a big fan of glow sticks in general, but this is a super useful way to use them without bothering everybody around you. So that was a good tip from Kim. Thank you for sending that in. Okay, I think that's going to wrap up this episode of WDW Prep to Go. For more information, including links to a lot of the things that I talked about in this episode throughout my days, please check the show notes in your podcasting app or go to the website, find the podcast tab at the top, and find episode 140. Until next time, I'll see you on the site. Oh, hey, you're still here. I just wanted to throw in a clip of Ashley Brown singing during our time at Epcot because we so loved her and she's so great at what she does. And so I hope you enjoy this little treat at the end.
Miss Ashley Brown.
When trying to express oneself, it's frankly quite absurd to leave through lengthy lexicons to find the perfect word. A little spontaneity keeps conversation clean. You'll need to find a way to say precisely what you mean. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, even though the sound of it is something quite atrocious. If you say it loud enough, you'll always sound precocious. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. When Stone Age men were chatting, simply grunting would suffice. Though if they'd heard this word, they might have used it once or twice. I'm sure Egyptian pharaohs would have grasped it in a jiff. Then every single pyramid would bear this hieroglyph.
S-U-P-E-R-C-A-L-I-F-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-L-I-F-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-L-I-F-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-L-I-F-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-L-I-F-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-L-I-F-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-L-I-F-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-L-I-F-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-L-I-F-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-L-I-F-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-L-I-F-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-L-I-F-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-L-I-F-R-A-G-I-L-I-S-T-I-C-A- choreography. You should have come out sooner and you could have joined me. I love seeing that out there.